In the past week, President Trump referred to undocumented migrants from Central America as, quote, animals. Protests continued to confront Georgia State Senator Michael Williams' deportation bus, and protests in New York denounced a racist lawyer who attempted to call ICE on a group of restaurant workers because they were speaking Spanish to a customer. As It's Going Down reported on May 16th, protests erupted against Georgian State Senator and former franchise restaurant owner Michael Williams. Williams, who has long courted the far right and was one of the first Republicans in Georgia to promote Trumpism, hit the road with a converted bus that bore the words deportation bus and said that it would be filled with, quote, illegals, while the back encouraged people to follow it to Mexico. Taking a page from Trump's famous comments on migrant workers, it also referred to immigrants as, quote, rapists, murderers, and child molesters, with molesters spelled wrong. In the following audio report, we talked to a Georgian resident who discusses the first day of the protests. Williams hit the road around the same time that Trump made waves by referring to migrants in exchange with sheriffs and law enforcement officers at a meeting earlier last week. Trump predictably said a variety of false claims, such as that San Diego residents were in favor of a wall, where polls actually say that more oppose it, and that construction on the wall has already begun, where in fact it hasn't, although some construction to repair previous fencing has started. While the conservative press has tried to spin the comments in the context of the El Salvadorian gang MS-13, in reality, Trump was simply commenting on migrants in general. And Trump was stating his opinion in response to a Fresno sheriff complaining about sanctuary cities. Based on the transcript provided by the White House, here's what was said. Sheriff, thank you. There could be an MS-13 member I know about. If they don't reach a certain threshold, I can't tell ICE about it. Trump.
We have people coming into the country, or trying to come in. We're stopping a lot of them. But we're taking people out of the country. You wouldn't believe how bad these people are. These aren't people. These are animals.
A key cornerstone of Trump's career has been to play up fears of undocumented migrants in the U.S., referring to shithole countries and playing up fears that immigrants are rapists, murderers, and drug dealers. Like the alt-right, Trump has also seized on specific cases, such as the tragic death of Kate Steinle, who was killed when an undocumented homeless man found a loaded gun under a park bench and dropped it, causing it to fire, hit a wall, and then Steinle, as examples of a supposed rising trend. These narratives of violent, sexual, super predators have long been a baseline for American politics in both parties, and used as both justification for wholesale repression as well as structural white supremacy and patriarchy itself. But of course, a closer look at reality is that largely there is no correlation in rising amounts of immigrants in a given area and a rise in violent crime. Moreover, like the United States as a whole, the country has largely seen a drop in violent crime while incarceration rates has gone up. As the investigative Marshall Project wrote, according to data from the study, a large majority of the areas that have many more immigrants today than they did in 1980 also have fewer violent crimes. The Marshall Project extended the study data up to 2016, showing that crime fell more than it rose, even as immigrant populations grew almost across the board. In 136 metro areas, almost 70% of those studied, the immigrant population increased between 1980 and 2016, while crime stayed stable or fell. The number of areas where crime and immigration both increased was much lower, 54 areas, slightly more than a quarter of total. The 10 places with the largest increases in immigrants all had lower levels of crime in 2016 than in 1980. Despite this, battles continue to rage over sanctuary cities, especially in California, where in some counties, in theory, police and sheriffs are not supposed to work with ICE in the deportation of undocumented people. Again, from the Marshall study. This month, the Justice Department filed a lawsuit against California in response to the state's refusal to allow local police to assist Immigration and Customs Enforcement officers in detaining and deporting undocumented immigrants charged with crimes. On Tuesday, California's Orange County signed on in support of that suit. But while the immigrant population in the county has more than doubled since 1980, overall violent crime has decreased by more than 50%. Despite the fact that there is not a connection between the rising numbers of migrants and violent crime, the far right, as well as many politicians, have long played up the fears of undocumented migrants and refugees, along with promoting economic conspiracy theories such as that immigrants steal jobs. The reason for this is clear. Placing the blame at those at the bottom of the economic, social, and political totem pole distracts away from those at the very top of it. Because in reality, automation, globalization, and outsourcing, many of the same factors which have in turn pushed many in the global south into the United States, are killing more U.S. jobs than incoming immigrants. Moreover, more immigrants in the U.S. are actually leaving the country than they are entering it. In response to all of this and more blowing up this week, a variety of actions have taken place across Georgia and New York. In Georgia, at a variety of Michael Williams campaign stops, people have confronted and protested the deportation bus and in some cases blocked it from moving. According to Williams' staff, unknown individuals also poured water in the bus's gas tank, causing it to break down. After it's going down, first reported on Williams' bus, the story was then picked up by other outlets, leading Cracker Barrel and other companies to ban Williams from holding rallies in their parking lots. Currently, Williams is scheduled to continue his campaign up until the 21st. Meanwhile, in New York, attorney Aaron Schlossberg has also been facing a wave of criticism and protest after he threatened to call ICE on a group of workers for speaking Spanish with the customer. According to CBS News, the video, Schlossberg can be seen calling Immigration and Customs Enforcement, or ICE, to have the workers, quote, kicked out of my country. He complained to another restaurant employee that it's America and that in the Manhattan eatery, staff should be speaking English, quote. Schlossberg has been kicked out of his office, and on Friday, a large crowd featuring a mariachi band showed up to perform and demonstrate outside of his apartment. Schlossberg has been hounded on the street by various news agencies, and his law office has also been attacked on social media review pages. While these are all great responses and also show the potential viral nature of anti-fascist and anti-racist organizing, at the same time, we shouldn't lose sight of the structural and day-to-day policies which are deporting migrants and breaking lives apart, or the realities of industrial civilization and globalized capital which push people from their homes in the first place. Just this week, Trump proposed housing migrant children inside military bases if and when their parents are apprehended at the border. With this in mind, let's envision a resistance movement against borders that includes both these viral and spontaneous actions, as well as long-term organizing projects and campaigns that set our sights on the destruction of each and every single border. We're going to go ahead and get to our interview now, but first we're going to play a small clip from the anti-fascist mobilization at the Canadian and U.S. border, where, among others, Faith Goldie ran into, as she calls it, Antifa HQ. Thanks a lot for listening. This is It's Going Down. Check us out on itsgoingdown.org, and we will see you next time.
So let me give you a little lowdown of what's going on right now. So I was under the impression this was going to be a right-wing protest. Clearly, it's me, Kani Sato. I thought it was supposed to be right-wingers here, but I walked into Antifa headquarters.
Ain't nothing but a thief on a time loan. 128 bit war, you play Nintendo on some shooter, so put the fucking bridge down and feed us to the killer bees. We get what we deserve, life. Bury me with my MP3s, write my manifesto in 72 DPI. Life's just a game, you got cheated, never learn. I write these songs for every bridge that ain't been burned, for every cop car that ain't been turned. I'm rich off the land, rich cause I learned that money's just a hologram. It's made of paper and it's going down, and you're invited.
Let's see it.
The disenfranchised people are set to explode.
Oh, Okay, we are joined here today with a Georgia resident. Today there were protests outside of a man that's running for governor, Michael Williams, I believe is the name, correct?
Yes, Michael Edward Williams.
Michael Edward Williams, he's kind of riding the same kind of, to the right of the MAGA train, the deplorable subculture, along with people like Patrick Little and Paul Nealon, but trying to push this stuff even farther to the right. But if you can just explain to listeners exactly, let's just start off with who is this guy and how is he connected to organized far right groups?
Well, so like he's really been kind of a non-entity for the most part. But he does hold, I believe he holds a current like state Senate seat for up around his district is upper that encompasses Forsyth County and a few other areas. And I believe I don't remember exactly, but I either lives in Cumming or Dahlonega, somewhere around up in there, which is also in Forsyth County. I think it was last year during the March Against Sharia bullshit that happened.
Uh-huh.
He showed up at the really poorly attended one that was basically mostly Proud Boys and 3% militia folks.
Uh-huh.
He did a photo op with the 3% militia Georgia Security Force, which includes Chris Hill, who's been implicated in multiple bombing attempts, as well as a domestic assault against his wife. And in that photo is also Alex Ramos, the man that was just recently found guilty for the racist attack against DeAndre Harris at the Unite the Right rally.
Oh, wow. So he was up in the mix with those guys. I remember there was a photo with him and they were giving the 3%er militia insignia signs and he's standing there with them.
Yep, right in the center. And Ramos is off to the, I believe if you're looking at it, he's off to the right.
Wow, that's incredible. And that was during the March Against Sharia organized by ACT for America, but of course a lot of far-right militia and also a lot of alt-right and white nationalist groups came out from Identity Europa to American Vanguard. That was one of the first big events they really made a large standing for.
Oh, it wasn't very big here.
Gotcha. Well, that's good. So just explain for people, this guy's running for governor. He's already an elected politician, but he's gotten a bus. It looks like an old bus that maybe the sheriffs would take people to jail and back and forth to court with. But he's decorated it with all these different slogans, and he's calling it the deportation bus. And can you just explain for people outside the area that may not be aware, what exactly is he doing with this bus and what's his goal?
Well, so we've got it seems like all the current folks that are trying to get the actual go ahead to run for governor through the GOP are all taking like hardline anti-immigrant immigration stances, and he's not the only one who said I'm going to go round up immigrants and whatnot. But yes, he got a bus where it's either an old school bus or, as you said, probably an old sheriff's bus where they, move inmates back and forth and put decals all over it that say, on the back, I believe it says, we'll send you back to Mexico. And it says, like, they're going to round up illegals, put them on the bus and take them back. He made a commercial that's been barred. It's no longer I think it got shown on television once. And no one will show it anymore because they consider it highly offensive and racist. He decided he was going to do a tour. This was the kickoff day. He had three stops. Clarkston, which is in DeKalb County, not far from Stone Mountain, where there's a refugee community. There's multiple refugee people from different refugee communities there, but like the largest, I believe, is Somalian refugees. And then he went to, and then he, the third one was, or the second one was Decatur. The third one was Athens, Georgia. So Clarkston had about 200 people show up to counter protest him when he finally arrived. And he was about an hour and a half late. So it was, he was supposed to be there at 1 o'clock. I think he got there about 2:30, which is half an hour after he was supposed to be in Decatur.
And these were organized groups or people that were largely responding to word of mouth or social media posts?
Just people responding to word of mouth. There were some local, like, immigrants' rights groups. I understand that there were some folks in the that work with refugees who were staying away, or who worked with the refugees in the area who were staying away for this, and they were encouraging people not to come. But people were concerned because Clarkston's a very it's a very diverse area. Like, there's people from all over the world in Clarkston. And Clarkston is considered, the mayor there is actually extremely liberal, who you know, is actually very welcoming of people with refugee status and wants to help, you know, folks by giving them a place where they can come and be safe. When it came to this bus, it's pretty easy. He chose places where he chose Clarkston. The area he chose, I guess, is actually kind of close to, like, some of the refugee communities. So it's viewed as a threat, right? I mean, because one, he's saying, you know, even though these people are here have refugee status, we've all seen, like, how they lump refugees and and undocumented folks as being illegals. You know, hell, for the most part, I don't even think he even cares where they're from. If they're not white Americans, they're illegals in his boat,
right?
Even though he has the Latinos for Trump folks were, you know, support him, but
hey, identity politics for race war. I mean, you can't go wrong.
Yeah, I mean, you know, the area he chose in Decatur is a heavily Indian community. Uh-huh. That's like. It literally was across the street from a strip mall that is almost solely Indian businesses and restaurants.
So this was kind of like a trolling expedition in some ways.
We believe so. I mean, it seems like he's done this so that he can try to up his rates in the polls, and he's currently, I guess, polling 3-4%. So
there were 200 people that came out to the first one, and we understand there was about 80 that came out to the next protest, right?
Yes, between 60 and 80.
How long did he last in the first place that he showed up to, an hour and a half late?
I don't know. I don't remember what time he left that one, but he must have left in time. He must have left about, I guess, he got there about 2:30. I think I said 2:30 earlier, but it could have been around 2. He was an hour to an hour and a half late.
And did he have supporters that showed up as well, or he was just totally surrounded by people against him?
So he had a RV that was touring with him, which he was actually on. The deportation bus was driving next to it. I guess it's not as comfortable as what he would like. But at the first one, apparently. You know, there were like 2 or 3 people that were on his side as out in the crowd. In Decatur, he had about 10 people that showed up. And in that process, one of them hit a protester with an umbrella, and his own chief strategist started ripping signs out of protesters' hands and being physically aggressive.
Right.
But I know that by 4 o'clock, and he was supposed to be in Athens at 3, he was probably finally leaving the Decatur stop. Mm-hmm. So he got there probably. No one thinks he stayed in Clarkston very long. They were keeping him kind of surrounded to some degree, but it was in Decatur where people literally stood in front of the bus and in behind the bus, close enough to where he couldn't move it without hitting somebody. And so they kept him there till about 4 o'clock.
Awesome. That's great.
And he was supposed to be in Athens, Georgia, which from being in Decatur, I guess it would take you about 45 minutes. But at the time of day, it would have been about an hour and a half because of traffic.
Right.
So they canceled it, and they want to claim violent Antifa, you know. With the Antifa, you know.
All capitalized, because everyone does it.
All capitalized.
Yeah, and it's interesting too, because on Twitter they're specifically mentioning Atlanta anti-fascists as the group that was kind of behind this and signaling them out. I'm just curious your thoughts on this kind of them pointing towards that group. What do you think that implies?
Well, I mean, so he works with the 3% militia. They obviously have an anti and the Proud Boys to some degree, since those two have overlap here. Those both take anti-Antifa stances. And I figured that's probably what he's doing. Plus, he's trying to whip up that fringe base to be more supportive of him, to make sure he ups his ratings in the polls and whatnot. You know, the fact that he singled him out, when I think when you look at it, you find that basically Atlanta anti-fascists said they're not going to call a protest, but they encourage people who want to go ahead and do it.
Right.
And of course, then he tries to create a situation that doesn't exist of them coming
right
to him, you right know, just to make it. And of course, he also, one of the funny things about the bus is it says, what does it say? It says, it's not proud conservative. Oh my God. I forgot what it means. Unafraid conservative or something like that.
Right,
the
right
motherfucker wouldn't come out of the bus at either stop.
Right.
So much for being unafraid, right?
And didn't they invite they invited media into the bus to take interviews while they were surrounded?
Well, yeah, because people were shouting. Anytime they opened the door, people chanted and made sure that if you know they were trying to do an interview at the door, you couldn't hear anything. So of course, you know, he's going to do things so it works better for him, you know, by taking them inside, you know, and that way he gets his narrative. Unfortunately, the news here is not exactly, you know, unbiased in certain respects, especially when you get into like various channels here. They've never been very good at showing leftist protests or even anti-racist protests. So
how long is he going to do this for?
I think the election is coming up this November or something like that.
But I mean, is he going to continue to do this deportation bus for as long as
Well, we do know that when I last looked at it is at his list, that it was about 15 stops, and I've heard that he's added more.
Right.
So he's going to do this for a while, obviously.
Yeah,
the primaries are happening right now, and that's what he's really trying to get into. So like the primaries are coming, like I think that those come up in May, so if he doesn't win the primary, this is gonna stop, I'm assuming, unless he wants to continue doing it, you know, to for whatever next election is coming up, like whether if he's gonna try to rerun for his Senate seat or whatnot. So
this is interesting. If you go to his website, williamsgeorgia.com/deportation bus tour, it says it has basically what happened today, Wednesday, May 20th or 16th, Gainesville, Georgia. Which, did he go to Gainesville or did that not happen?
I forgot. Yes, he started in Gainesville, so which isn't far from where he lives.
That was successful, supposedly.
That's unfortunate, but that's not unheard of. There's a very large Latino population up there, but it's like an hour away from Atlanta.
Right.
So,
but Clarkson,
you know, and it's in a highly conservative area. So right.
Then he went to Clarkston, and then the next stop was at a Burger King at 2 p.m. That's the one we just talked about, I think. And then he was supposed to go to Athens. And then it says Thursday, May 17th through Monday, May 21st, tour dates. And it says visit deportationbus.com. If you click on that link, then it takes you to another website. And it says receive tour dates and details. Put your name and your email address to sign up. And it doesn't have anything listed. So I don't know if they're – and then below that it says Fearless Conservative. I don't know if
Fearless conservative. That's it. That's what it said on the front of the bus.
Right.
But he was so incredibly fearless that he couldn't step outside of it. So
right. So yeah. I don't know if they're keeping the rest of the tour dates for everybody else, or if you have to sign up, or how they're doing it.
I saw a list of them. He might have, after today, decided he was going to keep them quiet. So they might have, you know, revamped that page. So yeah, that it doesn't have the list anymore, because it used to have a list of the dates, and I think that they went through the weekend. So
Well, you know, just in closing, I wanted to ask, you know, today there was a firestorm of controversy. Trump stated that, you know, undocumented children should not be seen as human beings. They are, in fact, animals, and kind of, you know, floated the idea of taking children that were taken from their parents as their parents were deported and placing them in warehouses on military bases. So I'm just curious. I mean, we see these people on the fringes kind of pushing things farther to the right. But I mean, just based on what Trump is saying every day, I mean, how do you put those two together? Who's feeding who?
Well, I mean, so like when it comes to Williams, his chief strategist was the like strategist for like the Trump campaign in Georgia. So, you know, I think that he's obviously like Trump's obviously feeding things that were already there, right? Uh-huh. And people who already felt, you know, had these bad ideas to begin with. But people like Williams are using it as a way, is using, you know, the whole Trump train aspect as a way of like getting himself into power, so, or continuing his power. What was nice to see is the fact that like so few of his supporters actually came out, you know. So, and while we know, especially online, a lot of, you know, these really, really, really regressive and like, you know, reactionary folks are out there, many of them aren't really going to do much. It was kind of interesting to see the fact that today that neither the 3% nor the Proud Boys came out at all.
Right.
Like for this guy, even though he's had a relationship with them.
Right.
You know, we couldn't even find, looking to see if they had anything, I couldn't find if they even were talking about it.
Yeah.
Locally.
Well, I just think people should.
It's kind of a chicken and an egg issue. Like, who's really feeding what, right?
Right.
Like, I feel like some of these issues already existed, and some of these people were already there. Others are just riding coattails. And I think Williams is trying to use that, you know, this reactionary upswell to like, you know, push him into a larger position of power. So, I mean, if he becomes governor of Georgia, it's not going to be good for Georgians
right.
at all.
Right.
But none of the GOP candidates are exactly good for people in Georgia.
No. Well, I just think people should take Trump's comments very seriously. I mean, there's several times in American history where the state has, you know, rounded up millions of people, including both undocumented people and you know, quote, American citizens, and, you know, deported them in mass. And there's no reason to believe that can't happen again. And I think that immigration is a perfect scapegoat for, you know, everything that's affecting poor and working class people. And, you know, they're just being used to, you know, as the whipping boy of everything else that's going on, from globalization to automation.
Yeah. And they you know, they're an easy target because they don't have the ability to, they don't have the, you know, the infrastructure, the organized infrastructure really to speak back, you know, at the same time, and not get the, you know, the market share, as some folks would say, as, you know, someone who has money already, you know, you know, local groups like Georgia Latin Americans for Human Rights, you know, took this very seriously and showed up, you know, because of the fact that they work, you know, with organizing, you know, people to resist ICE raids and whatnot, as well as, you know, just trying to, you know, make sure that there's basic human rights guaranteed to, you know, granted to people who are living and working in this country. I mean, you know, it's, they scapegoat, you know, immigrants as though they don't do anything except for come here and rape, rob, and pillage. And it's like, well, dude, who's mowing your lawn?
Oh, exactly.
Fucking cooking your food in the restaurants. Who's fucking building your houses? Or hell, who's repairing your houses? I can tell you that you can drive around and you can look at any of the building trades, and or even the like service industry for like, you know, especially for like, you know, landscapers, heavily Latino folks doing it. And from people that I know who work in those industries, there ain't white folks coming and asking to get jobs in it. So as far as like them stealing jobs, who are they stealing it from? When those same people that they're saying are having their jobs stolen literally are not trying to get those jobs.
Right. And it was interesting, Trump in a recent rally, I can't remember what state it was a couple weeks back, but he even said something. He's like, yeah, but we still need them here. We need them here in some sort of guest program. Like, we still need them as workers. I mean, really what he's saying is we need, you know, them to be second class citizens and to receive low wages. Like in California, legally speaking, farm work is the only work that legally cannot be unionized. You know, where people can be pushed to, you know, work in these extreme conditions outside and not, you know, receive basic human rights, like you were saying. And, you know, obviously that's designed to have people produce massive amounts of wealth in the food industry to be exported around the world and to not be paid, you know, a decent wage in return. And that's, you know, that's the same kind of process that's happening across a variety of industries, like you were saying. But I mean, you know, as Trump has said, he's come out and said quite plainly that they want that system to continue, but at the same time, they want to use immigration too as a kind of scapegoat to kind of direct the anger of the population against, you know, a perceived enemy.
Yeah, it's always easy to convince, especially people that have kind of a bully mentality, which it seems to be most of these MAGA folks have anyway.
Right.
To scapegoat folks that are, you know, and that are in a worse situation than themselves, you know, encourage them to punch down instead of actually looking up and right. going like, well, fuck, it's you that's really dividing us. It's not these people. You're the right. one causing all the division. You're the one keeping us, you know, apart. And making sure that we, you know, have shitty fucking healthcare and shitty fucking working conditions right. and fucking horrible environment, you know?
Right.
It's like, and I don't get it, because you'll even see some of these folks and you're like, dude, what? You don't even have two nickels to rub together. How the fuck do you think that this guy cares two shits about you, you know, and that any of his positions are actually going to help you? But, you know, largely it seems to be the people that are vocal, at least, you know, that come out and support people like Williams and Trump seem to be somewhat well off. And, you know, it's been pointed out that it seems to be that, you know, the Trump train really came out of the suburbs and not out of, like, you know, poor working class communities, like has initially been stated.
Right. Well, hey, thanks so much for joining us, and, you know, just inspiring to see people taking action out there and, you know, standing in front of this bus and saying, like, you know, not one more inch. And, you know, with everything that we've been talking about, you know, stuff like this is exactly what's needed and more of it.
I agree. So I hope yeah. at every one of his stops, he finds resistance.
Awesome. Hey, take care. Thanks a lot.
All right. Thanks.
This has been the It's Going Down podcast. Check itsgoingdown.org for daily updates, columns, action reports, and news. Go to itsgoingdown.org/shop to support us. And follow us on all social media platforms. IGD, your daily resource for insurgent proletarian life.